but I think we're on. So, knowing our community might have a few folks out of town and such, Gabe said, well, let's go ahead and record it that way folks can listen to it later. We'll begin really easily, panel. We start easy. So, we'd love to hear just a little bit of family background. Maybe we can start at that end of the table and work this way. And Gabe has prompted me with some sets of questions to go through, and there are a few main categories. There's kind of an introduction category, really easy. Then there's a category of sacrifices of raising children, including things like careers and burdens and stress on the marriage. So kind of the sacrificial part of parenting. Then there's effective practices of parenting. That's category two. And then category three would be lessons learned, reflections, thinking back, just takeaways. So we'll work through those. To begin, though, just introductions. How long have you been married? How many kids? What are the kids doing now? Just a real high flyover, not heavy detail, obviously, just kind of a family summary. If you want to include a quick note on your faith background, maybe when you were, you know, saved, something like that, that's great too, but it's fluid. We can start with the virus.
Okay, we've been married for close, will be 35 years coming up in September. So we haven't, so 34, we haven't made it there yet.
We're hopeful.
We have two children. Mitch is 30 and lives in Raleigh. He's a financial person for Cisco. Works at the Research Triangle, has his, and lives with his dog, Bo. And Amy and Eric, our daughter Amy is married to Eric. They live in Cary, and they have two dogs and a baby on the way. So I have pictures of ultrasound. That's what I really want to talk about. This is our second chance. They're both engineers working in Raleigh.
Okay. I'm Jeff Clayton. This is my wife, Jan. We've been, in September, we'll have been married for 40 years. I came to Christ at 16 during my, I guess it was during my sophomore year. And I met Jan. She was in my classes, I really met her at a Christian coffee house during my junior year in high school, and we dated for about 5 years and got married the summer before my senior year in college, because I had gotten a scholarship for my senior year, and Jan had gotten a two-year degree and was already out working, and she worked on campus. And my dad said it's important that you be financially independent before you get married. He kept stressing that. And once we, once I got my scholarship and she got a job, you know, he gave it was fine. And but we got married at 21, and and we have four children. Over a 10-year spread from 25 to 35 right now. And I'll let Jan cover the kids.
Okay. Justin's our oldest. He's in Cary and has a wonderful wife, Megan. And they have two beautiful grandchildren for us that we had so much fun with. Two boys, and there's a third one on the way. So we're very excited. He is a sales manager at Ferguson Enterprises. I had to ask Jeff last night, what does he do again? And he's in e-business. But anyway, it's pretty cool. He and Megan's heartbeat is music and worship. And so they are involved in the worship ministry of Peace Church, a PCA church there where they live. She also teaches cello. And then Janelle is our second child, born 5 years after Justin. And she, as God ordained it, has something called Rett syndrome, which is a diagnosis that includes severe, profound mental and physical disabilities, as some of you know. And but she is a sweet silent angel. She is just the sweetest, and her endurance and her ability to just handle so much, so many things that she's been through without hardly a whimper. It's just incredible to me. But she is currently in Concord at a group home with 5 adult residents. Our third child is Jeremy, who's 3 years younger than Janelle, 2 years older than Joni, and he is working at Wells Fargo in operations risk. I didn't know how much detail you wanted me to go into.
Okay.
And is married to a Christian gal from Greenville, and they are small group leaders in Uptown Church, a plant of this church. And then Joni is our youngest and is, as you probably know, with Campus Outreach, decided to go into ministry instead of business and is working at UNCC. So.
We're Gary and Betsy Corwin, and I grew up in a nominal Christian home with a lot of tragedy. But at age 8, through a backyard Bible club and the witness of my older sister, who was 6 years older than me, came to Christ, and that made all the difference in the world. And the story of God's grace there is remarkable. But we don't have time to go into all that, and maybe some other time we can share some of that. But then 45 years ago, I married the preacher's daughter. And
So you can do the math on that. We got married the week after I graduated from college. We have 2 boys. Josh is 37. He works with Granite. He's like a troubleshooter and a supervisor for his crews. And he always loved rocks when he was a kid, so I think that's coming through now. And we have some nice granite in our house. And Caleb, the younger one, they're 2 years apart, is married to Aaron, and they both grew up in this church and started dating at 16, and that was it. That was childhood sweethearts, I guess. He is a periodontist on Randolph Road. They go to Uptown. And that's them. Oh, we have 3 grandchildren. And it does give you a chance to make up for what you might have not done right. That's every chance. Yes. They're wonderful.
And I'm Mark Hummer. I got an easy job because I don't have to answer anything. So we'll start with the first broad category, which involves that age of sacrificial work as a parent, the sacrifices of raising children. There'll be an initial question around careers, and there'll be a question posed to the moms as well as the dads, separate question, and there's a second category after that. So thinking about the sacrifices of being parents, of raising children, moms, we'll start with you, and we can start, June, on your end. If you were in the position of having a career when you started having children, what did that look like? Did you leave or alter career? Did you change it? What did your kind of work and home balance look like? What were the challenges of that? If you made changes, if you can reflect back on kind of why you made whatever changes you made, just talk a little bit about your experience of that work and then parenting and balancing from the mom's perspective.
Okay, well, we got married right out of college, so I, in my mind, was going to be a career woman. And so I got a crummy job at Savings and Loan, and but worked my way to, I was a branch manager, but there's no such thing as a Savings and Loan anymore, I know that. The banking world downtown, and so I guess we were married about 4.5 years before our first child was born, and it was our plan that I would stay home. So I did that for several months, and then I really got kind of bored. It was hard to go from full time and then just have this. While it was a great blessing, of course, to be with him, it was just so. Anyway, so I friends of ours started a construction company, so I started doing just some part time bookkeeping for them, and that was okay. It didn't last very long just because childcare is difficult for part-time, and it just really wasn't quite worth it. And then I was pregnant again, and so I knew with two children it would be really difficult. So we just decided to that I would stay home for a while. But as the kids began to grow, they would go to Mother's Morning Out and stuff. So just to help supplement our income, I started teaching at their Mother's Morning Out, and that was fun. We could drive together, we could come home together. We knew the same people. And I knew their teachers, and that was good. And that was probably only 2 or 3 days a week. And then they started school, and this was they went to Covenant Day, and so there was a year that the two tracks of classes went to three tracks. So there were a lot of openings for assistants. And so I was very blessed to get one of those. So that there again, I was at school with my kids. We drove together, and because assistants leave early, I had a couple hours to regroup before they came home. But it was really a great job. And I'm not saying that because Mark Helmer's my boss. But 22 years later, I'm still there and very grateful for that opportunity to help supplement, to be able to give my kids a Christian education or help, and still be able to contribute in some way rather than just being at home all the time. I just am not a be-at-home-all-the-time kind of person. So that was really, God really blessed us with that. And anything else you would say? I mean, our goal really was to, initially when we got married, our goal was to be debt-free. And so that was all kind of in the, this is why we're buying this house, because in 15 years we have to be able to pay it off in 15 years. That was something that Wade really wanted. And so, even though it was my dream house, I'm like, okay. So anyway, it's a great blessing to be able to honor that. And at the same time, work but be with my kids. It's when they get home from school, I was there before they left, when they got home, especially as they got older in high school. I thought it was very important to be there in the afternoon when they walked in the door.
Jan, could you reflect on your experience of the same thing?
Okay. As Jeff said, I actually got a 2-year business degree. Didn't get the best career counseling, but at the time, my dad had walked out on my mom, and so she was going back into the workforce. And she said, Jan, you want something practical. You never know what can happen. So I ended up in the associate in applied business degree, and worked at the Peoria School of Medicine, in various roles, and then because Caterpillar Tractor paid more in Peoria, I ended up taking a job there, but really did not like it. But our goal was to try to raise enough money for a down payment on a house, with the desire for me to stay home when the kids came along. Well, it took a little longer than we thought for me to get pregnant. And so at one point when, my heart was tugging me in a different direction from my job. I wanted to get more involved in the church, and it's just how God has wired me, and to do volunteer work and whatever. And also my dad had died in a unexpected car accident, and just all that together, Jeff said, just quit, you don't need to work. And so I quit, and the next month I got pregnant.
And stress was off.
So, always, even though we weren't raised in overt Christian families, I had a desire to learn, and so I would read a lot of books on parenting, and Jeff would tell me, don't try to apply them all at once, And my zeal would get ahead of practicality. But anyway, it was just a privilege to be able to stay home with our kids.
We're missionaries with SIM. So I have always worked a little bit with SIM, but it's usually late at night typing on the computer. I did editing and writing, so it didn't really interfere with the kids too much. But I grew up in a home where my mom was home all the time, and that was my model. And so, but I loved being, I'm also a nurse. I loved being a nurse. I was privileged to always, nursing, you know, it's kind of flexible. There's all kinds of things you can do with it. So I was able to work one shift a week or one shift a month, just to keep your fingers in it so that someday I could go back to it without having to take a refresher course, which I'm very thankful about that I didn't have to take that. There were 6 years where I was home with the kids and not working, but I still could go back without a refresher course. But even when they were older and I would like work a 3 to 11 shift, my impression, my memory of it was that every time I worked, it was the wrong time. Just whatever was going on at home, I might leave a little crisis going on with the kids, or I'd be worrying at work about what was happening, or Gary was traveling, or... So anyway, in some ways, I wish I didn't have to have worked at all, but that is just something that we remember about it. You could set up your shifts ahead of time, so you know, you don't know what's happening that day when you go to work, or plan to go to work.
Thank you. So guys, we'll come back and ask a similar question. If it's applicable, how did you have to modify your professional goals when you were thinking about your family's needs, kids at home, young kids? What did that look like as you formulated your track and your path and what you aspired to professionally, but then also managing the home life? What things did you face? Looking back, did you do things the way you wanted to? Did you change anything? Reflect on that. Wait.
Try not to ramble too much, but I did remember, it just hit me the other day, God willing, this next Wednesday, I will have started work 35 years ago. And I started out at Duke Energy, Duke Power at the time, and one of the things I remember is where I worked there, and then I worked at a subsidiary. And the subsidiary essentially unplugged about 13 or so years ago. And I can still remember that. Just walked out. There was no thank you, no we appreciate all that you put in. I just walked away. And so that stuck with me. I do want to work, and I do work hard, I think, and I work in a way to honor the Lord and to want to collaborate and work with others. But at the end of the day, it is my relationship with God, my investment in my bride, and my investment in my children that matters. And June mentioned that Mitch was born 30 years ago. And a verse that stuck with me at that time, after seeing him arrive in the world, and it still does stick with me, and I'm trying to live in light of that, is Psalm 90, verse 12. And some of you will know it. Teach us to number our days right, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So with that in mind, is kind of career. Yeah, it's good. I want to provide for my family. But the guise of, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do all this to provide this nice fill in the blank, whatever, for your children. It just doesn't matter. So one of the things that I did is a car, just financially. I still laugh that we had, we'd saved up again trying to not have too much for debt. We bought in 1994, ended up buying a new wheel. We typically bought used cars, but we'd saved up, and I was hoping Lee was going to be here because I wanted to find out how it's doing. But we just got thumbs up. We bought a 1994 little basic Saturn. We saved $600 by getting the manual because we could pay cash for it if we did the manual. But drove it for 16 years, and then we gave it to a single woman here. Now Lee drives it, so it still continues. But that was, again, thinking about the choices, some of the things that we did. That's an example.
Thank you. Jeff, can you reflect on that?
Also, is kind of along with what Wade was saying, I learned fairly early on in my career that you can work your head off and have a great year, have a great project or a great accomplishment, and January comes around and, okay, what are you going to do this year? or, you know, they'll celebrate that project, and okay, now what are you going to do? You know, I realized that, you know, no matter how hard I work and how hard, you know, that, you know, it was appreciated for about a couple of weeks, and then it was, now what are you going to do for us, type of thing. I work for IBM, and I started with IBM in Peoria, Illinois, and it was 11 hours by car from the closest family. My parents were in Marietta, Ohio, straight up 77, and my sister was in Florence, South Carolina. And after we had our first child, we felt that tug to, you know, to get back closer to family, to get back closer to grandparents and stuff. And we started praying about it, you know, about, moving back closer to family. And I really didn't know if I could get there with IBM, even though IBM had facilities in North Carolina and other, you know, places that were kind of in the middle. Because I'd gone through four managers in 4 years, and, you know, no matter what they promised me, you know, whatever that manager promised me, I would be gone. So we were praying about it, and after several months of praying about it, I happened to come across Genesis 31:3, where God said, "Now is the time to return to the land of your father and your relatives, and I will be with you." He was talking to Jacob at the time, and it's not something to build a doctrine on, but it jumped out on the page to me, and so I really thought, you know, a chill went up my spine, and I thought, you know, I really do want to get back closer to family, and, you know, this is God's thing. So I started putting my resume out, looking for jobs, got an offer in North Carolina, and not with IBM, but got an offer in North Carolina, and decided to take the offer. And the week that I quit, I got a promotion on Tuesday, I got a 25% raise, and I quit on Friday. And I would not have had the courage to quit had I not had that verse and that leading, you know, the verse I could point back to, and that leading from God. And even 2 weeks after I quit, met my manager, and he said, "You don't have to sign the papers." We met for lunch. He said, "You don't have to sign the papers. I'll take you back today." And my stomach was just churning, because I was leaving IBM and going to McLean Trucking in Winston-Salem, and leaving prestigious IBM to go to McLean Trucking. But God used that. It worked out very well. And then I rejoined IBM a couple of years later here in Charlotte, and we've been here for 30 years. But there's been a couple of times when I've had to change my job. My job changed to where I was on the road as a consulting job. And I did that. I would do that for a couple of years, and I said, I got to get off the road because I got young kids. And so I'd look around inside IBM, found a job that I could do, and move to that job. And God seemed to provide the opportunities when we prayed about it. And so I've made several career changes just within IBM, just so that either we didn't have to move or so I could be home a little bit more.
Gary? After years as a professional student, a brief interlude as a youth pastor, Dotsie and I joined SIM and moved to Ghana. Our children were quite young at the time, and the earliest years were in Ghana, and it was part of our goal as a couple to be in ministry together. That was part of what led us, I think, the directions we went. But it was also neat to have our kids part of the ministry, in a sense, when we were in Ghana, because kids open doors to relationships in ways that you can't hardly imagine. But then after a little less than 4 years, it was necessary for us to be back in the States, and I thought I was going to be doing something else, but the Lord had providentially arranged for me to get invited, and letters crossed in the mail. It was really quite remarkable. that I got invited to be director of research for the international department and also be involved in education coordination internationally. So we took up residence in New Jersey at the time in the States, and this new international role, I was going to be traveling 4 or 5 major international trips a year, 2 or 3 weeks at a time, sometimes a little longer. And that was a factor of concern, but that combined with our idea that we could probably homeschool as well for the kids as sending them off somewhere else. And that was part of that decision, but the other part was it allowed us to be involved together as a family more and have more time together, and had a great boss in our international director who also sympathized with the idea that at least every couple of years, 2-3 years, on a major trip, the family would be able to go with me. And so we tried to ingrain in our boys as well the idea of being in ministry together, and for them to be an encouragement to the places we were going. So that was all kind of fitting together with the homeschooling and the time with the kids and the schedule, and Satya said about the nursing, that worked out well for us in that ministry.
Thank you. So the broad category was the sacrifices. There's one more subcategory under that. Sacrifices of raising children. Kind of the burdens and stresses on the marriage and what that looks like or looked like for you. We'll do a little bit more of just spot questions instead of everybody on this group. So maybe Jeff and Jan will hit you all first. Maybe some of the burdens on your marriage with child raising, and what were some of the burdens and stresses, and how did you deal with them? How did you battle that as a couple?
Well, of course, the number one burden for us would, of course, be having a special needs child with a lot of needs. But Jeff had a pretty demanding job, and just having 4 kids, as many of you know, can be challenging in and of itself. I actually had 3 in diapers for a while, and I was not using disposables. But Janelle had lots of doctor and therapy appointments, which I know some of you can relate to, and lots of routines in the home that required a lot of attention. She needed to be put in a prone stander 3 times a day so she could bear weight for various reasons. She had AFOs that needed to be put on and off different braces. She needed to be, we were trying to potty train her and put her on and off the toilet. And of course, she could never walk, so it's lifting all the time. Which, when you do it a lot, it does wear. But and then I spent around 3 hours a day just spoon feeding her meals and her snacks throughout the day, and trying to get her pills down her. And because she had low muscle tone, it just took her a long time to chew and to swallow and whatever. So it. And then on top of that, starting at age 6, she had many hospitalizations, mostly pneumonia, but she's had other things too. Had vomiting episodes, shingles, bad colitis from antibiotics, different things, but mostly pneumonia. And the hospitalizations were usually 1 week or 3 weeks. She had several 3-week hospitalizations, often in December. And Jeff and I, with these stresses, you know, certainly there were times when we were impatient with each other because we were tired. but we also learned and prayed through things and learned to function as a team, and it was no more apparent than when Janelle was in the hospital because we were with her 24/7. We had to make sure they got her meds right. Right now she's on pages of medicines. And we had to make sure they got their meds right, and they often, and I won't say often, but they sometimes didn't. And so we were there 24/7. We didn't just visit her for an hour or two and leave. So we were so thankful when the other one showed up for the next night's duty so we could go home and get some sleep. And it was, we've had numerous very stressful emergency room visits. There were 3 in 1 week, and I didn't think I was going to live through that week because I was so concerned for Janelle. I mean, you know, seizures where she just like that, you know, whatever. And we just, it got to be a pattern that about 7 o'clock at night, I couldn't do any more. And so I'd think, oh, I'm just going to lay down on the bed for just a few minutes, lie down on the bed for just a few minutes. And I got a principal over here. lie down on the, my dad used to crib, my grandma, he was an attorney. Anyway, so my kids joke about me correcting their grammar, and they love to catch me when I mess up. Anyway, so anyway, I'd lie down on the bed for a few minutes. I just need to catch my breath for a little bit, and I couldn't get back up. And it was just, you know, I gave all that I could give, and it became apparent when our older son was on the back burner for so long that, you know, he was desperately needing attention. This guy was needing attention, and anyway, that's a whole nother story. But it was a stress on our kids, too. Many a time when Janelle was in the hospital, Joni would be crying and saying, I just want you to come home. And you know, so, and they know that Janelle took a lot of time, but you know, we had happy times. We played a lot of Christian music for Janelle because she loved music, and we often didn't have energy to socialize. We get invited to parties, and it's like, I don't have energy to carry on a conversation. And so mainly what we did, and this may be getting ahead, is just had family nights at home with either board games or watching a movie. That was our social life for many years. Maybe once a night, once a week. But you know, God has redeemed the years of stress and trials. We've had several teachers comment on our kids and their maturity. We've had, you know, just God's working that. And even Andrew Holbrook, when he saw Jeremy and Joni interacting in 1822, guessed that they had a special sibling and wanted to meet her when they told her he did that they did. So I just couldn't believe that. That floored me. But we've also had countless witnessing opportunities. But really, Janelle's story is a whole other story. But I will say, we want to share the positive with the stresses. And she revolutionized my prayer life, Janelle did. Because in desperation, I was praying all the time, Lord, I need help. And Jeff's mom would call, not only with a dinner, but a steak dinner. You know, praying for, I had to yank my two kids out of their beds to go pick up Janelle at a special school downtown in the afternoon. And you know how much you hate to wake up your kids during their nap. So I prayed for a school for Janelle in Southeast Charlotte. And the next year, St. Mark's called me and said, we don't know why we're being offered this, but they're opening up the classroom for our kids at Matthews Elementary. And I said, I know why they offered it to you, because I've been praying for it. Anyway, so there were lots of good things. God stretched my faith, and he helps me realize that in the same way he wanted to answer my prayers, I believe he wants to answer other people's prayers. So I want to pray for people and see God work.
Thank you.
Let me just say one thing in summary. One of the reasons that we volunteered to work with young families is that we found that that was the most stressful time in a marriage. You know, the husband is usually in a fairly new job and ramping up in his job and career, and so you know, he's got a lot of demands on him. You know, the wife may have demands on her. That also, you're new parents, and so you've got a lot of ramping up to do on what it takes to raise children. You know, we're all inexperienced when we had our first child. You know, it was all something we had to learn new, and it's a very stressful time on your marriage because you have to learn to sacrifice, you know, for your children. You know, there's a change when you get married. There's a much bigger change when you start having kids. And you have to learn to sacrifice for your children. And so much so that it puts stress on the marriage. Like Jan said, you know, I'd come home from work and she'd lay down and take a nap and I had second shift. You know, and so, it is a time when you really have to do commitment. And as I was thinking about it, when we asked these questions, you know, we as parents have to sacrifice for our children. But we've got a model for that, that our Heavenly Father had to sacrifice for His children, and that Christ had to leave heaven and come to earth and experience all we experience and be punished and die for our sins so that we could come, so that we could become God's children. So we have a pattern, you know, we have a pattern there that God sacrificed for His children. We're all His children. God sacrificed for us. And we sacrifice for them. And it really takes commitment to each other and to helping each other. I can't stress enough, it really takes commitment to make it through those times when you don't have time together for each other. You know, you've got lots of demands and you're out of energy and you're snappy and you're frustrated and you're depressed and, you know, that that those are times when the marriage can fly apart or when you can grow closer and closer together if you sacrifice for your kids and sacrifice for each other. What Jan didn't say is 4 out of 5 marriages that have special needs children usually wind up in divorce. But we made it through all that, and we did have that commitment. And God did bless, and we've got a closer relationship as a result.
We heard Jan share in the midst of that schedule that most of us probably can't resonate with, that you would create family game nights and things periodically. Wade, question over to you now on a similar theme. In the midst of the chaos and stress of rearing children, how do you continue to nurture your marriage and relationship and not give up on that? It requires great sacrifice. Are there still practical ways you can kind of nurture your relationship with your spouse in the midst of all that?
Yeah, there's got to be a commitment that that's priority and that your kids are secondary to that. A couple of examples. I remember our anniversary. It was just, we were going to dinner. We just times we do trips, we want to make that, you know, going to dinner. Mitchell was maybe 5 at the time, and I said, Mitch, I wanted to teach him, it was a teachable moment about taking, it's our anniversary, here's what it is, here's what I'm looking to do. And I just remember him looking at me and saying, are you taking her to Quincy's? I said, Mitch, this is even bigger than that. It's just a paradigm, but it was always teaching. And for dads with daughters, you want that bar high. You date your daughters, and you want to see, for your daughters to see, this is how I treat my wife. And for your sons to see, this is how you are to treat women, and particularly wife.
Well, and just to add to that, you don't think they're watching. I got a Mother's Day note from Amy this past Mother's Day that said, thank you for showing me what it looks like to put my husband before my children, because as she's beginning to have children. And of course, I'm like, wow, did she see that? I mean, you don't, you just wonder, did I do that? Did she see it? And so that was very encouraging to me, because I heard that for her.
Thank you. Next, we'll move into the next broad category quickly, effective practices of raising children. So kind of the nuts and bolts and mechanics of it. Maybe I think we'll hit the moms here. If each of you can share briefly, but specifically, some key thoughts for each stage of parenting, just reflections, key ideas, if you want to break it down into like preschool, early childhood, maybe adolescence, older kids, whatever you feel like is appropriate, just kind of hit a few highlights. Dottie, can we start with you and then work our way down that way?
Well, first of all, your kids need you at all ages. You really are never done parenting, even now. We're still parenting, in a way. And each age has its challenges. I'd say diapers were the easy days. This was a honeymoon for us, and things do get a little more challenging for some families when their kids get older. I don't really have it in categories, but another thing that I would say is major on the majors. And if I look back at my mothering, and I think there were a lot of times when I could have given more grace and not been so picky about them being good in all areas. I mean, not that I didn't want to be good, but, you know, there are big things and there are little things. From an early age, from when they were really little, we taught them to work, and we had family chores. On Saturday mornings, they knew that they'd get up and they would work outside if it was nice weather or inside. And then as soon as they were old enough, as teenagers, to legally get a job, they did. They both lifeguarded to start out with. And actually before that, they mowed lawns in the neighborhood. So they were always making money, or trying to. And another thing we did was read to them a lot. I started when they were babies, and I think as I look back on being a mother, there's not a lot that I'm really pleased about, but probably nobody is. But the one thing I did that I really appreciated is reading to them. We would read and read and read, and part of that was easy because we were homeschooling. But we now have so many shared experiences from books that we read together. And we would read in the car. Gary read a whole series of Horatio Alger books to them. I mean, we were always reading. And that was just a precious time. And now I'm reading to my grandchildren. And one other thing was, we did not have a TV for their early childhood. And when we came back from Africa, we got one, but we pretty much kept it in the closet. It was a little small black and white. And I think they were in high school before they realized they probably could just turn on the TV. I hate to say that. Don't tell my kids I said it, but can we watch TV? And there was a period where they were starting to ask too much, so we got this idea to pay them $100 and not to watch TV for a year, and that worked really well. We would get it out, usually, to watch a movie, I mean, occasionally. Or
Marty Stauffer, Wild America.
Wild America. On Saturday nights with our pizza, but then it went back in the closet. And they met the challenge, so
paying your children not to watch TV.
Actually, it was a really good idea, and that guy paid his kids $500, but we were on the other
side. Jan, any additional reflections from you?
I heard John Maxwell paid his kids to read good books. $5 a book. I'm not sure if that would have incented my kids. But anyway, I guess the stages of parenting, I think of what I learned through the Ezzo's book, Growing Kids God's Way. There are a couple that have done parenting seminars out of John MacArthur's church, but I thought it made a lot of sense. 0 to 5 is establishing authority. Your children need to know that you are the boss, not them. Children don't run the family. And as much as God gives grace, you want them to obey on the first command. And the reason that I think it's so important, 0 to 5, is because if they're running for the street and a car is coming and you tell them to stop and they're like, they're used to not listening to you, well, you could have a tragedy. So not only for safety, but it's I believe it's good spiritual training that they learn to obey you, so they learn to bend their will to God later. And then they actually say 6 to 12 is a training time where you're modeling, doing different things, chores around the house, serving your neighbors, whatever it may be, getting into the Bible. And so you're doing a lot of things with them. You're starting to let them make decisions and maybe help them understand how they could make better decisions. And then 13 to 19 is coaching, learning from their mistakes or the good or bad examples of others. I remember hearing on Dobson or somewhere that it's good to not necessarily share names. I remember when one of our friends' children had an unwed pregnancy, and without sharing names, we started we talk to our older kids about, okay, what are the ramifications of that? What would they be dealing with? Just getting them to think ahead, you know, for possible tempting situations and how they'd handle it. So anyway, I think you get the idea that more and more they're making their own decisions. As they show they're responsible, you let go and give them freedom. And as much as possible, you want to share the Word of God in a positive way so that they build internal controls. And because you're not going to be able to hold their hand through the teenage years, so the more you build internal controls with the Word of God and just seeing the wisdom, the provision and protection of God's commandments, then they will own it, you know, and not just, I know mom and dad would say this, but I'm going to do this. And so we always discipline for disrespect, disobedience, and dishonesty, and had chore charts with fun stickers and discipline charts. Some of you probably heard the if-then thing, where if they do this particular thing, bop their brother or sister on the head, whatever, then this will happen. So you're emphasizing, okay, Jeff and I would confer on what the appropriate discipline should be and look at the Word of God, of course, but and share verses where applicable. But so they knew it was on the refrigerator. If they did this, this is what they were choosing. And so it's not that